Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And the studio has been invaded. It's Tuesday and you're here, Doug?
Yes, I had to come.
Well, welcome. The news, you can't make this stuff up, and it's certainly as funny as any sitcom. I mean, hackers have now, they breached the DNC's system, and they found the dirt files on Hillary.
Dirt files in the DNC?
Why would the DNC, the Democratic National Convention?
They keep dirt on their own?
Well, back, I guess, when Obama was the candidate, they probably began opposition research on Hillary. Mm-hmm. So that's reasonably hysterical.
That's pretty funny.
And hackers have breached the Clinton Foundation servers.
What?
Now, this is just breaking news. And so that's hysterical also, because the Clinton Foundation is just part of the organized crime run by the Clinton family.
It seems that way.
Yeah. And then there's the book, the tell-all book written by the woman who refers to Hillary as the other woman.
Oh.
So Bill Clinton's longtime girlfriend through high school.
Oh,
and
yes.
And after high school, and when Hillary and Bill got engaged, and after that, so this woman refers to Hillary as the other woman.
I see. So she's obviously no longer involved with Bill in a romantic
way. And hence the title of the book, and the photo on the book is the back of Hillary's head.
Oh.
And Hillary is the other woman.
By the way, this photo of Hillary at the top of Drudge,
yeah,
very, the only other photo I've seen less flattering than that is at kgov.com/Hillary. With the Hillary ring process there.
The Hillary meme.
Very unflattering.
The meanest Hillary meme in the history of memes.
Yeah.
Is this one on kgov.com, where it uses basically, you know, dendrochronology.
Dendrochronology, one of my favorite means of chronology.
Where you count how old a tree is by its rings.
Right.
And oftentimes they're annual, although two rings could form in a year.
Yeah.
Especially when there's a drought. But you count the rings, and it turns out with Hillary, you can do the exact same thing and count the wrinkles from her birth right through up through the Broderick and the Whitewater and the Lewinsky and the Benghazi,
you
right up to
it.
The email scandal.
Yep. And just so you know, that photo on KGov was not doctored. You can cross-check it with this photo at the top of Drudge right now. Those same wrinkles are there.
Yeah.
So.
It's not flattering.
So the impending collapse of the Hillary Clinton campaign that I've been expecting for quite some time is obviously happening today. Finally.
For a year. Yeah. And so the Clinton Foundation, you know, the kinds of things they were doing. In fact, this wasn't even through the foundation. Bill Clinton was named the honorary provost or president of a university.
Yeah.
And he was paid like $12 million over a few years to visit their campuses around the world, you know, just traveling. He was just traveling. He didn't do any work. And so the State Department, while Hillary was the chairman, the secretary of the State Department paid that university $55 million.
$12 million in.
So this is all graft.
$55 million out.
You pay my husband $12 million to travel around the world,
and
we'll give you $55 million. And that's just the one small, minor operation of the organized crime that is the Clinton family.
Yeah, and it's right there in front of all of us. Right. Very easy to comprehend and understand.
Right.
So how is it that this person could be the presumptive Democrat nominee?
Yeah.
Unless the Democrat Party is just completely oblivious in their own evil.
And you know, when it's been pointed out that Hillary won't criticize the Arab countries who have donated millions to her for terrorism or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up talking about radical Islamism.
Yes. Radical Islamism.
Yeah, right. Radical Islamism.
Okay.
And nobody considers themselves an Islamism. So she sort of skirted on
that one. Yes. She's very
She criticized some of these Middle Eastern Muslim countries for is not cracking down on their citizens funding terrorist organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a piece of cake. That's low-hanging fruit. They don't mind that.
No.
What she needed to criticize them for is executing a Muslim who wants to become a Christian.
Yeah, she could have brought that up.
Why not criticize them for not allowing women the dignity of being an adult human being?
Mm.
Why not criticize them for fundamental Islam practices that are embraced by hundreds of millions of Muslims?
Yes. Well, it's because there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah.
Enormous amounts of money.
Yeah.
And Hillary and Bill Clinton seem to enjoy large sums of money.
Yeah.
Even though they're ostensibly, they're socialists.
Well, remember when she said, when we left the White House, we were dead broke. We almost couldn't afford our mortgages.
Dead broke is...
mortgages, plural. And they were worth, I forget how many tens of millions when they left the White House.
Yeah, they were doing...
They had all these mansions. And so, yeah, she just...
She's possibly the next president of the United States.
She's
just
a crook.
Go ahead and say it.
No, well...
She very well may be.
Well, some talk show host predicted a year ago she would not be the Democratic nominee.
Yes. And now I've had a falling out with my wife. She says you're wrong. She said you're too optimistic. The country is way farther gone than you think. Hillary will be the president.
It doesn't matter if Hillary is a criminal.
No.
It doesn't matter that if she wins, she's going to immediately change her name to Hillary Rodham, divorce Bill Clinton, and marry either the gal who made her fortune in the North Face clothing line or Huma Abedin.
Huma Abedin.
I don't know who.
Well.
But one or the other.
So she would be our first openly, I don't even
lesbian
want to. Yeah, I don't even want
president.
To go there.
I mean, every time in the past, she was Hillary Rodham until during the campaign, it was hurting Bill.
Yeah.
So she changed to Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'd win. Then she's Hillary Rodham again.
Yeah.
Then he starts campaigning for re-election. Then it's hurting him, so she's Hillary Clinton. And she's been Hillary Clinton a while now because she's running.
Yeah.
And if she did win, she'd be Hillary Rodham.
Yeah. Well, she would no longer need Bill.
No.
And it's obvious that they've just been tolerating one another for probably 30 years.
Oh.
A sad state. I'd hate to be involved in that relationship.
Oh.
Just got to be sad.
Oh.
But here, let's go to a happy story.
Okay.
Let's go to France.
France?
The Independent is reporting, well, there was an attempted robbery at a McDonald's in France.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And this is a crime.
Apparently, these guys go into this McDonald's. They fire a warning shot, tell everybody to get on the ground.
Yeah, armed robbery.
People are fleeing and hiding under tables.
Two thugs.
Yeah, two thugs. Well, what they didn't realize was there was about a dozen special forces. And even though these are French special forces, they're still special forces.
And they're elite.
Which,
elite special forces.
Those are the ones in France.
Is that
you have
a French
to be,
word, elite?
Yeah, I believe it is. The elite ones are the ones
these
you have to
be scared
of.
The special forces, when they drink tea, they have their pinky out. No. These guys are really tough.
Now, they were smart because they didn't stop the robbery and put anyone in danger. They waited until these thugs were running out of the McDonald's.
They didn't even stop eating. They were totally calm, cool, collective.
Yeah.
And if they would have taken it, they had their weapons on them.
They had weapons.
Of course. They're special forces.
And there's a lot of tension in France.
And
right
there's a lot of people there. And if they would have acted earlier, they might have put more people at risk.
Right.
So they did nothing.
No, they're well-trained, very disciplined.
Until
they told the robbers to stop. When the robbers didn't stop.
Well, this is when they were fleeing. The robbers are now fleeing. They got the money, like $1,500.
They're out in the parking lot. Trying to make their escape.
Yeah.
And the special forces caught one of them and beat him up, and they shot the other one in the stomach.
They said, drop your weapon, and the guy turns around, and they shoot him in the stomach.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yes, and now the two criminals have been arrested by the police and now handed over into the French justice system, which means they'll probably be out in time for dinner, except the one who's in the hospital.
Yeah.
He'll be having a feeding tube for a while.
And the French special forces guys will probably be indicted for carrying
that's
weapons.
That's it, right, right.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, speaking of special forces, Bob, are you aware that the Marine Corps has been forced by the social engineers there in the Barry Ho administration to institute new physical fitness standards so that women can compete for combat jobs?
Yeah, which it's... Of course, it's the man's obligation to defend women. And if there are no men, I mean, if an older sister has her younger brother at the park, and some gang members come to, you know, threaten them, then the older sister's going to protect her younger brother, of course.
Yeah.
But if you got an older brother there, or a father, it's the responsibility of men to protect the women in their family.
Absolutely.
And the women in their neighborhood and mm-hmm. their nation.
Yes.
It's not the responsibility of women to put themselves in harm's way to protect men.
No.
And no. God made us that way.
He did.
So that men are stronger.
Yes. He made us that way from the beginning of the creation.
Faster.
I'd like to point out. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you have thousands and thousands of young men who want to join the Marine Corps,
yeah.
why would you be working overtime to make sure that women can end up on the front line? It's because you're deranged.
Deranged. You're... So they lowered the standards. So
well,
that women...
wait, now that's no, what they've did. Been accused of, Bob. But well, these standards, according to this article.
They lowered the standards for physical fitness.
No, no. These standards are so tough now that they're even washing out some male recruits. According to this news
some
article.
Male 1,500 men, 40, only 40 didn't make it, Doug. 40
yeah.
out of 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
So how many of the how many women, oh, 6 out of 7.
Well, 6 out of 7.
That's a much higher percentage. Yeah. Quick, do the math.
Now, I this is many, many years ago, but I recall that a Marine Corps boot camp class consisted of a company, which is about 400. About 400
yeah.
would go through one class.
And you're a former Marine. So.
I went through boot camp.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, out of the 400 that started in our company, I would wager that at least 40 washed out. That's somewhere along the way washed out. And this is out of 1,500, only 40 have washed out
yeah.
based on these new tough standards. Let's see, they have pull-ups, ammunition can lifts, and a three-mile run.
So an ammunition can lift.
We didn't have that.
That means you have a can filled with ammunition.
Yeah.
And you have to lift it.
No, I think these cans are empty now. That's 40 out of 1,500 guys can't do it. Yeah. Anyway, it's obvious from the statistics here, or at least the statistics imply, that the standards indeed have been lowered.
See, feminism has taught now for decades. I mean, I don't know if they think they're complimenting men or what. But they've taught women that unless you can be a man, you're not worth anything.
Mm.
Feminism teaches that you're only worth something if you could be a man. Mm. And there's a difference between men and women. God made us different. Praise the Lord that he did.
Amen.
Viva la différence.
Yes.
If we're speaking
French. And
so
even though I'm not going to say I'm proud I was a Marine, but I'm not ashamed that I was a Marine. And I tell stories about it sometimes.
I'd be proud I was a Marine if I had been a Marine.
If my daughter turns 18 and she comes to me and says, Daddy, I want to join the Marine Corps, I will consider myself a failure as a father. I will have failed.
Yeah.
That would be so devastating. Mm. Now, if I had a son, it would be different, although I would not necessarily want my son to join a force that is involved in installing Islamic governments around the world. That's somewhat problematic these days.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. There's the elite and the not-so-elite.
And so when God made us male and female, and the Bible talks about the weaker vessel, and the weaker vessel is the woman.
Oh, Hillary does not want to hear that.
The weaker vessel is the woman. Mm. And guess what? It's okay for a woman, for the average woman, not to be as strong as the average man. And that doesn't mean she's less of a human being.
No, not at all.
But feminists, liberals, Democrats, and many Republicans are so stupid that they present this mindset that if a woman can't compete with a man, she's less of a human being.
Mm. It's unbelievable.
It's feminism.
Yes, which is again is a deranged state. Now, speaking of the elite, Bob, the ministry of Bob and Yart Live is an elite Christian ministry.
Whoa.
And we got a letter.
Special forces.
Listen, yes,
right
we're the special forces of Christian ministry right here. No pull-ups required, and the three-mile run is optional, but we do preach the gospel.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I got a letter here that you have got to hear from a listener.
Oh.
She writes from Mississippi.
All right.
She says, after becoming a Christian 12 years ago, I read the Bible, and I began living it. Praise the Lord.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I joined the Christian community and was dismayed to see so many claiming Christ but living no different than the world.
Boy, is that a common observation
by
our listeners from around the country. They say, I go to church and people are just like unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Their kids shack up, they shack up.
Yeah.
They watch porn on TV, and so anyway.
All of that. Yeah.
So she noticed this.
So she noticed not only that, she said even the preaching that I heard seemed hollow and lame. Mm. Hollow and lame. Mm. Quite judgmental. Now, she says, but when I hear you and Doug and all your guests and your callers, I realize I am not alone.
Oh,
that's a great feeling, right?
That's encouraging.
Because it gets kind of depressing in the world. I was at a wedding, and I was asked by the way, at this wedding, Bob, your reputation.
No.
Your reputation.
Just, yes,
your
out of the blue. My reputation.
Your reputation preceded me to this wedding.
Oh.
And I was confronted by a man who, he was like, you seem passionate and awfully upset. What's up with that? And I said, well, I got kids and I'm watching my whole country be destroyed.
Yeah.
And it bothers me. I'm paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
And then we started to discuss you. And I'll tell you about that off the air.
Okay.
So he was offended by you and your obsession with trying to prove every word in the Bible.
But wait a minute. I don't know who you're referring to, but doesn't he believe that you shouldn't judge? And you have to forgive whoever this person is?
Well, could be.
So I don't have to change anything because he's not going to judge me.
No.
And he's certainly going to forgive me.
Yeah. Well, he was somewhat judgmental. But let's get back to the letter. We'll go over this off the air because I don't think you even know this fellow, but he knew you. Boy, did he know you.
Uh-oh.
Let's see here. I realize I'm not alone. Praise the Lord. She says, I've stopped going to my church.
Ooh.
Okay.
Now, that's rough, you know. If you go to a church and the messages are, you know, tithing and don't judge and tithe and forgive and love everybody and God is in control and tithe and forgive and don't judge. And
right.
Did I mention tithing?
I think you did.
And if that's the sermons like for 10 weeks in a row, it's getting pretty rough.
Yes. Well, she says that at her church, she was disgusted with the preacher's teaching cliches and his outright endorsement of the government schools.
Oh, yeah.
So if your pastor endorses the government schools from the pulpit, I would think it would be a positive thing for you to depart from that church.
Yeah.
That's probably not fellowship that's going to edify you or your family.
We have a pastor's quiz on our website.
Oh, we should send this to this young lady.
Yeah.
Yes. We have her address in Mississippi. So we will send her the pastor's quiz, and maybe she could go back.
KGov.com/pastor's quiz.
Oh, there she could just download it.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the thing is about the pastor's quiz, she could go and bring it to the pastor and say, maybe you noticed I haven't been around.
Yeah.
I want to give you a
second
chance.
Here's the first question. It's 10 questions.
All right.
First one. Does your pastor warn people to take their children out of public school?
Okay. He fails on that one.
Yeah.
And so on this test, if you miss one question, you're out.
No.
This is a pretty tough test. So she got very upset. So he was endorsing the government schools. I just caught this in the letter. Even after the whole recent debate about the boys and girls bathrooms.
Oh, right.
So it's as if pastors feel compelled now to make the case for the government schools
no matter how degraded they become.
Unbelievable.
No matter how certainly your daughter will be sexually harassed at school, systematically.
Yes, and even your son more so these days.
Oh, right.
So she says, thankfully, my husband, who doesn't know the Lord, works hard and loves us so much that he has supported our homeschooling and my staying home since our babies were little.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she says, I am glad to know. Oh, she says, I don't suppose I'll be able to fit in anywhere around here, but I am glad to know that I'm not alone. I want to thank
awesome.
You. She also wants to thank us for addressing the pot issue.
Marijuana.
Yes. She says, so no other Christians seem to think it's a problem worth addressing, along with pornography, abortion, fornication, and so on and so forth.
Mm.
Yes.
Doug,
I like
marijuana.
This lady.
We are, you know how we've talked about the search terms where people Google, they're finding us?
Yep.
A lot of our resources are very discoverable. Well, marijuana is such a highly competitive term. And so our negative effects of marijuana, we used to be like on page 80, 10 to a page 70 in the 60s, 50s, and finally page 17, 16, 15. In the last few weeks, we've jumped to page 2.
Yeah.
And we've been working our way up page 2. So soon enough, now we have a YouTube video, you and I on YouTube, the negative effects of marijuana, and that's helping.
Yeah.
Some pot website some stoner website? Doug, it's called stonetube.com. They posted our video.
Oh, really?
You and me, the negative effects of marijuana by Real Science Radio.
We've made it.
On stonetube.com.
We're finally somebody.
So Google, I mean, we're now on the second page, marching up toward the first page.
Those potheads have helped us to promote our message by linking to the video
of course.
From their site.
Right.
Well, that's awfully nice of them. Well, they probably didn't even realize
they're potheads. You know that Viceland, the new, you probably don't know, the new cable network, Viceland.
Viceland.
Yeah.
Okay, the fact that someone could launch a network and call it Viceland is a commentary on the state of our society.
And believe it or not, they have a show on marijuana that's pro-marijuana.
No.
Believe it or not.
Okay.
And so now they've asked me again, they've called one of their producers,
yeah,
if I would appear on one of the upcoming episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriella called.
All right, I think you should do that.
Well,
the people at Viceland, if there's one person they need to meet before they go and meet God, they need to meet Bob Enyart.
So she told me she just started listening to the YouTube of me and Doug McBurney.
All right.
On the negative effects of
marijuana. So meanwhile, while you're busy doing this, our listener in Mississippi is busy becoming despondent when preachers focus on, quote, judge not, quote, forgive so you can be forgiven, and just having a better life.
Right.
Just so much pablum she's getting.
It's and tithing.
So and did I mention tithing? She says she's found a little home church. She's got to work on the Calvinism thing with them, but maybe she says I can help them see things more clearly. That's somewhat presumptuous, right? That's one of the things about knowing the Lord, by the way, is that it gives you an enormous amount of confidence.
Mm.
I tried to have that conversation with a young friend of mine who's had a hard time with his career,
mm-hmm.
and I said, you need to get into the Bible and read the Bible and get to know God. You'll be more confident.
So she mentions Calvinism just in passing,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so people listen to this show, they know that we don't believe that God has eternally decreed that he's created people so that their minds would be filled with filthy and rebellious thoughts,
no.
and they would do wicked things. And so, you know, many Calvinists, millions, have been taught that God has decreed every molecule, so there's no maverick molecule in the universe. He's decreed every thought, every action. Mm. So every imagination of the heart, everything was determined by God from before the foundation of the earth, so teaches, you know, most Calvinists.
Yeah.
And so there are millions of Christians who look at that notion that God has decreed the despicably filthy and wicked crimes that men commit against women and children, and say that a holy God would not fill his mind with all of these things for his glory and his pleasure and create people who could do nothing but do these things.
Yeah.
So, right, she's right.
Yes.
That we oppose that teaching.
And she's confident that she's right. And I believe it's not necessarily due to this ministry as much as it is due to just reading the plain text of the Bible.
Right.
Just read it.
Right.
And so there she has it. Now she says, thanks again for doing what you're doing. I wish I could subscribe to your Bible studies and sermons, but we're a homeschool family with 5 kids on one income.
Wow.
How many times have we heard that story?
Yeah.
And listen to this, though. Thankfully, one of your listeners here in town gives me her hand-me-down sermons and DVDs. So she's getting...
What state is she from?
She's from Mississippi.
Mississippi. Isn't that encouraging?
We have quite a contingent in Mississippi.
Wow.
And they're strong Christians, homeschoolers.
Yeah.
And one of them is sharing our resources with this listener.
Wow.
And we're happy she is.
Doug, we
absolutely
just had the Christian Home Educators of Colorado convention.
Oh, yes.
At the Denver Merchandise Mart. It was a great event. Real Science Radio had a booth. Colorado Right to Life had a booth. Rocky Mountain Christian Fellowship had a booth. Anyway, we sold many, many DVDs, more than ever at this event.
Oh.
And our science DVDs on the flood and I don't want to mention one DVD pre-release we were selling.
You were sneaking that out at the booth.
Trading
there.
Genesis and Jurassic on dinosaur soft tissue. At any rate, we had on our sign, ask for the single income family discount.
Oh.
Because homeschool families, you've got one parent who gives up work in a paycheck to raise the kids.
Yeah.
And we've long told people that that's part of your giving to the Lord.
Amen.
The fact that in your household, you're giving right off the top,
yeah,
about 40 to 60% of what of the money you could be earning so that you could be home and give your children a Christian education.
Wow, now that's an interesting perspective that I don't think has been preached at a community church at any time ever.
Well, I don't know. But
I don't think ever.
But we teach that.
Well, you do teach that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so if a young family, they're surviving on one income and the government's taking a huge portion.
Well, you got
especially
that
when
too.
You add the gas tax and the property tax.
Oh, you don't even want to think about it. Yeah, don't
sales
go there.
Tax.
Yeah, no, it's too depressing.
Right. When you add all that, and then what? A lot of churches say, well, you got to tithe on top of that.
That's right.
What are you supposed to live on, 40% on a single, and you've already given up 50% of your wife's potential earnings. So,
and then they lay a guilt trip on you that you're not giving them 10%
and our economy,
of the meager bit that's left.
Yeah, and our economy is based on a two-income household.
Yeah.
So homeschoolers are heroic in their service and dedication to the Lord.
Mm.
So, and that's very clear. At it should be biblically.
Yeah.
And certainly at our church, and we tell young families, don't worry about, you know, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, and let the peace of God rule in your heart.
Mm.
So you've got bills, you're struggling, you're a young family, mom's home with the kids, and you can you hardly have anything left over at the end of the week. That's okay.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, you got to take off the top 10% and give it right to the pastor's retirement fund.
Yeah, all right. It's, well, that's the state of the church.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think we have time to do this story.
Wow.
We
only got 1 minute left.
We only
Where did the
minute.
Time go? Hey, Doug, our pastor's qualification
oh,
quiz.
Oh, yes.
So question number one, does your pastor warn people to take their children out of public school?
Yes, mine does.
Does your pastor teach people to judge?
Absolutely.
Like judge rightly, Jesus.
Yes, don't judge like a hypocrite.
No, judge rightly.
Judge rightly.
Does your pastor teach that the theory of evolution is wrong and dangerous?
Mine does, but I bet not many do.
Does your pastor teach that homosexuality is evil?
Ooh, that's a big one. Fewer and fewer these days, but mine still does.
Would your pastor, today all they talk about are the bathrooms.
The bathroom. That's where we're going to draw the
bathrooms.
Line. We're going to draw the line at the boys' room.
The boys' room and homosexual dental care.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
Everything else goes.
So we've been relegated to that.
Does your pastor excommunicate unrepentant, immoral church members?
I'm trying to think if we ever have. Well, actually, we did.
Okay.
Yes. Right. That happened at my church.
A lot of churches say, no, we don't go by that.
Yeah.
Does your pastor condemn abortion?
Amen.
Does your pastor teach that some sins are worse than others?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, it's obvious.
Does your pastor's wife seem joyful?
That's a good one. Great question to ask any pastor.
Right. So we're out of time. KGov.com, Pastor's Quiz.